Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this time to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. We invite you to go out there and check out the information we have there, and you can learn about the church here at Harrisburg. There's the radio program and MP3 files, there's Bible videos, they're 30 minutes in length on different subjects, and a host of other Bible-related material. Please give it a look. At the end of our broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. We only want to show you a need for God in your life and you have a relationship with His Son who died for your sin. We have begun studying some concepts and some lessons from the book of Hebrews. Today, we want to talk about Jesus being superior to the angels. We're going to begin by reading in Hebrews 1, verse 4 through 14. Having become so much better than the angels, he is by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who inherit salvation? Now in our text today, we are looking at the superiority of Jesus to angels. Notice in the first verses 4 and 5, he has a more excellent name than the angels. His name is better than the angels. And by an inheritance, he's obtained that name. And it goes on in verse 5, "For which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'?" That is a quote from Psalms chapter 2 and verse number 7. We also see in verse 6, "And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him." The angels worship Christ. It's not the other way around. Christ doesn't worship the angel. The angel worships him. Why? Because he is the Son of God. Only the Son and only God is worthy of worship. Men who worship Christ are worshiping God. We see that by the blind man in John chapter 9 and verse number 38. He worshiped the Son. And so the angels were sent to worship Christ. Again, this shows his superiority. He is not a created being. There are many who take the term firstborn into the world that means that he was created. No, Christ was not created. Yes, he was both God and man, and we'll talk about that later on in our discussion of Hebrews. But what we want to see here is that he is in a superior position because he is not a created being. Angels are created. They're messengers for God. But he is superior to the angel. And verse 8 and 9 says that Jesus is a God and his kingdom is forever. He says, but to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." Now, again, this is a quote from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3. And again, it shows the eternal nature of this kingdom. But that should not come to us as any surprise. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, Daniel prophesied that there would be a kingdom that would be established in the days of Rome, and that kingdom would stand and last forever. In Daniel chapter 7, we have a prophecy concerning the ascension of Christ back into heaven, and when he came back into heaven, he received glory, dominion, and a kingdom. And we see that actually taking place in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And so, again, Jesus is God, and his kingdom is forever. It will never be destroyed, and he will never abdicate his authority. We also see in verses 10 through 12 of our text that Jesus is eternal. He is eternal because he is God. He is deity. He is the Son of God. And therefore, he is eternal, and that makes him superior than the angels, because they are not eternal, because they are created. And so if they were created, they have a beginning. And so Jesus has no beginning or end, since he is the Son of God. And no angel was ever invited to sit at the right hand of God. No angel has ever been given the supreme position of sitting at the right hand of God. We mentioned this last week in the reading of Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 29. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke of concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not descend into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And so what we see is the superior position that Jesus is in. He is at the right hand of God. He's on the spiritual throne of David. That is a place and a position that angels never occupy. That makes him superior to the angels. And according to verse 14 of our text, angels are ministering spirits doing service for those who shall receive eternal salvation. Angels are the messengers of God. They do his bidding. They do his work. They are helpers for his work, and they act on his command according to what he desires them to do. Again, they were created for that purpose. They were created to be messengers for God and to do his work and his will, as they are directed by him. Now, Jesus is not in that position. He is a son. He is the Son of God. And on numerous occasions when he was on earth, he made reference to his relationship with the Father. He often said, I did not come to do my will, but my Father's will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. And in John chapter 17, in his prayer in the garden, he asked the Father that he would glorify him with the glory that he once had. Again, this all a reference to a relationship between a God and Christ, a Father and Son. This makes Christ superior to the angel. Now, let us review for just a moment what we read in our text. Jesus has a more excellent name than angels. Why? Because he's the Son of God. His Father is God, and he is his Son. The angels are to worship Christ. The angels worship him. He doesn't worship them. The angels worship the Son. Why? Because he's God. Jesus is the God of his kingdom, and his kingdom is forever. We read that in Acts 2. We saw it in prophecy in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. And he promised to build that kingdom and his church in Matthew 16, 18 and 19. We see that God is eternal in verses 10 through 12. And it's the nature of God. God is an eternal being. No beginning, no ending. And no angel ever was invited to sit at God's right hand. This is a position that was never given to angels. This position was given only to one person, and that person is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, angels are ministering spirits, doing the service for God for those who will later inherit eternal salvation. They are there to do God's bidding. And so they are not in the same position. They don't have the same responsibility that God's Son has, and he is in a position that is solely only for him. Now, to better understand the superiority of angels, we also need to remember a statement that's made in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and beginning in verse number 24. Remember, our text says to sit at his right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. When will that be? In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 24, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. When the final resurrection comes, and death has been defeated, when all are raised from the grave, with John 5, 28 and 29, by the words of Jesus himself, that all that are in the grave will hear his voice, when that time comes, then death will be defeated. And at that time, Jesus will give the authority back to his Father that was given to him and delegated to him that he had upon earth when he returns that authority and the kingdom which he was ruling and reigning on the spiritual throne of David in heaven. This is all according to God's eternal plan that was created before time began. And so again, I want to remind you of the theme of Hebrews. It is a superiority and the supremacy of the law of Christ and the person of Christ. Anything and everything under the law of Moses could not be compared and cannot come to be the thing needed under the old Mosaic covenant. All the advantages that men have are because of the covenant of Christ. He is superior in every way. And in the book of Hebrews, it is making argument after argument to show his supremacy over every aspect of the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Why? So that those who lived under it and now are converted to Christ should understand that now they are where God wanted them to be, and every advantage and spiritual advantage that they can have is not going to be obtained by the old law or through that law. It can only be obtained through Christ. That law was nailed to the cross, according to Colossians 2 and verse 14. And so again, in our text, he is being given the credentials of superiority over the angels. We saw last week that he had credentials that no one can match to make him the best and most excellent spokesperson for God. And now we see that he's even superior to the angels, other created beings that are messengers of God. What is the Hebrew writer trying to emphasize for us? He's trying to explain to us, and he's trying to explain to his audience in the first century that every spiritual advantage and every advantage they have in their relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. And they should never give him up. They should never turn back. They should never look back. He is superior in every way. We saw his credentials in verse 1 through 3. We see he's superior to the angels in verses 4 through 14. He is the one. He is the one that men need to look to, they need to listen to, they need to have faith in, and they need to obey, and they need to follow in their lives if they are going to be pleasing to God. It's a choice. All men must make it. Dear listener, you have to make it. You must choose to follow Christ or follow something else. Nothing else will get you to heaven except if you follow the Son.